pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Put the needle on the record. That was all those old songs I used to play when I was DJing. Used to call out onto the dance floor, people, and you know something? I'm going to do the same thing. Welcome to my dance floor, boys and girls. Here with another edition of Political QRM. Buckle up and lock and load.
Hello, everybody. This is Anne Marie, and you've already heard Lou. We've been a little bit again. But you know, we've been a little lax here. I think last time we did one was 2 weeks ago. Man, I'll tell you, life just seems to just keep going on and on and on, and before you know
it's better.
3 weeks.
Those couple of gaps we had that were 2 months and 3 months.
Oh,
you know?
Man, ridiculous. But. Yeah, it's been tough lately, you know. So, you know, just trying to get our two schedules together. It's been kind of rough. But, of course, that doesn't make any difference because as we're, you know, dealing with what we have to deal with, the world still goes on. And boy, has it been going on. Oh, my gosh. Where do we begin,
you know,
Lou?
Well, I don't know. You want to go from the ridiculous to the sublime, I guess?
Oh, heck yeah. Why not?
Sublime. You know, let me say this about that.
Okay.
Because I know everybody's expecting my opinion on this. Do I agree with the fact that the president retweeted that wrestling thing? Do I believe it was a little bit beneath the dignity? Yes. Do I believe it was typical for him? Yes. But just look, I have no heat. Mr. President, tweet your heart's content. Because every time you do, you're going right over their head and you do something and you're still working every day and you're still getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. Was this one a little bit crazy? Yes. But the real thing was, like we said at the beginning of the last one, 140 characters can make their heads explode.
Yep. Yep.
It should have ended in less than 24 hours.
I know.
But it went on and on. I'll tell you why it went on and on and on. Because they just couldn't beat the Russian dead horse to death.
Oh, you kidding? They now have another part that they made up, they brought in, and which is completely ridiculous. You know, what happens here is that if one of the family decides to say hello to a worker who happens to be of Russian descent, is that part of the cover-up? Is that, you know what I mean? I mean, they're grasping at straws here, folks.
The latest.
Go ahead.
The latest I have was from about an hour ago, and Jared Kushner was, I'm sorry, it wasn't Jared.
No, it was Donald Trump Jr.
It was Donald Jr. And what happened was he was asked by a friend to come and meet this other friend because this other friend was an attorney and may have had some damaging evidence on Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to this meeting with this other lawyer who happens to be attached to the Kremlin, who gave him no credible information or no useful information. So he turned around and left. So now they've got this and they say, oh, there's the evidence we need, there's the smoking gun, and da da da. In the meantime, up until that moment, it was yesterday, they had to come up with precisely zero evidence, not through Congress, not through the House, not through the Senate, not through Mueller, not through Comey, not through any of them. The only evidence of any Russia involved in anything American over the last 4 years has been Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Susan Rice,
Barack Obama,
Barack Obama, Lynch, Who's the other one? Murkowski? Mm-hmm. No, the other one.
No, I forget. McCaskill, I think.
McCaskill. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people that have, you know, standing there having conversations with these Russian people selling uranium to them and giving them deals and all this other stuff. And don't forget the old thing about, well, after the election, I'll have more flexibility.
That's right.
You know, all these things that landing square in a Dem's lap, and that's considering they pointed a Clinton-sympathizing special counsel who staffed his entire counsel with Hillary supporters and Clinton Foundation donors.
That's right.
And they have come up with zero evidence.
There's nothing here. There's nothing there. And they're trying to make things up. They're trying to make things up.
Right.
That's all they're doing. There is nothing there. Now,
nothing there.
Nothing there. Okay. And the more they beat this, the more ridiculous they appear, the more ridiculous it sounds. And the more American people are turning now and looking at the press and the Democrats and saying, you guys are crazy. And you would think that, you know, now let's just say this. Did Russia try to affect our elections? Let me just say, Russia has been trying to affect all of our throughout history, they've been trying to affect us. They even had people, World War II, they had people in the government, in our government, because Roosevelt was so open with the Soviet Union. It was disgusting. And now you take a look.
The Red Menace movies weren't necessarily fiction.
No. And the thing is that Russia has always been trying to spy on us. I mean, let's go back in history. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, come on. They were spies. There were spies all over the place. So what Russia is doing is not new and is not news. We spy on them. They spy on us. They try and screw up our defense. We try and screw up theirs. I mean, it's tit for tat. But since the Democrats lost, and the reason they lost is because people hated their candidate, they have to blame it on something. And what they're doing is setting up elections for 2018 and 2020. And their motto is going to be, if you don't want the Russians to meddle in our elections, vote for a Democrat. That's where all this is leading.
The Democrat National Committee admitted that they had evidence of Russian involvement.
Yet they would not turn over their servers.
Right.
So, you know, show me the money, folks.
When you get to the trick is, and here's the thing I find most satisfying.
Yes.
They've got this thing where their sights are set on 18 and 20. And the way they're going, especially with their best pocket media, is they are doing a very good job of setting up 2018 and 2020. For us.
For us, yes. Because the more,
and
the
I
more
just
they go on this,
you know, I
go ahead. Sorry.
When you get eating Democrat apparatchiks, senators, congressmen, and everybody saying we're on the wrong road, and then the rest of the Democrat Party wants to take Pelosi out and put Maxine Waters in.
I know. It's like they're exchanging crazy lady for a bitch. That's what they're doing.
Well, you know what it is?
Crazy
like,
ladies for
I can
bitch.
Hear the. I can hear the campaign. I can hear the campaign now. You know, 5% fewer loose screws than Nancy Pelosi. You
know? Exactly. It's just. I mean, you look at these people. You look at these people, and you listen to what Maxine Waters says, and how much she hates Trump, and that he should be impeached. Not only impeached now, she's going on the exile thing. He should be exiled from the United States.
Like, exiled.
Are
yes.
you an idiot?
And dragged,
hey, lady, how did you manage to live in a $4.3 million house? How did she manage that?
Not in your district.
Oh, by the way, and in a white community.
In a community
white.
Of 3% minority, $4 million?
$4.3 million.
Not in her district.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that Ben Carson doesn't know anything about, or doesn't care about the poor people.
Oh, my God.
you know, this is the thing. These, and you know something? Let me tell you something. When I see her on and she's making noise, whether it's on RT, whether it's on Fox, whether it's on CNN, MSNBC, I don't care, you know, C-SPAN, and she's making a fuss, I basically sit back. All right, sometimes I'll roll my eyes, but other times I'll sit there and laugh.
She's all right? An idiot. I'm sorry, she's an idiot.
Chuckie Schumer. A lot of times, like now, he's got this campaign to eliminate snortable cocoa. There's a
Not
product
that I would
on the
do
market.
It. Now, wait a minute. Not that Cocoa I would do local. It, because
well,
I wouldn't.
Yeah. No, of course not. You'd rather eat it.
Exactly. Make wonderful things out of cocoa. Brownies, fudge, chocolate cake.
Well, it's this stuff called Cocoa Loco, and it's got caffeine and taurine and stuff like that in it, like energy drinks. And essentially, it's raw cacao powder.
Although, in this case, though, in a way, I kind of agree with Schumer, because to me, this makes it appear like snorting something is okay. And you know how that goes.
Each dose is like $5, and a can holds like 10 doses. This is not something that's going to, and it doesn't have a cartoon character on the label.
No, but it's stupid. It's a stupid product. It's a stupid product. It is.
Yeah, it is, but you know, all over the world, whether in South America, the natives that chew on the coca leaves, or you know, over in some of the rest of the world where they chew on beetle nuts.
These are guys who sit on a tree log and, you know, and they're half naked.
And hunt monkeys.
Yeah.
So, you know, and where the cacao grows, they probably do the same thing with cacao.
That's right.
You know, because it is a stimulant. You know, but as I've said, as I've quoted the great George Carlin more times than not, mankind's been looking to get high ever since the first time he saw the goats and sheep eat the bush and frolic. You know,
that's true.
So, you know, those goats stay up all night and play. You know, but Chuckie Schumer is Senator Soundbite. You know, we're native New Yorkers. We know this guy.
Oh, God, yeah, unfortunately.
You know, we've been seeing him.
If it can fit into a 30-second thing, 30-second clip, he's there. And that's what he does.
He never saw a camera he didn't like. Yep.
He probably practices and says, okay, take this word out. Because that's 31. We have to have it 28, mm-hmm. no more than 29. So, you know, let's just do it. That's what it is with him. I would not be a bit surprised, because these people are all into staging.
To be honest with you, I couldn't imagine saying, you know, him calling me up and say, hey, Lou, you want to spend a day at Turtleback Zoo? And I said, yeah, I haven't been to Turtleback Zoo in years. So I'll go with
you. Is Turtleback Zoo still exist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's the County Park Commission. Still runs it.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
But the last time I was there, I took my granddaughter there. My goodness, that's...
Years.
Well, let's see, she's 26, and she was six at the time, so it's 20
gosh.
Years.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyhow, but riding down there in the car has got to be hard to do, because he'll only talk in 30-second bites.
That's true. I don't know. I just... You take a look at all these guys. All these Democrats are still coming out. And they're still harping on the Russian thing. Now it's Trump is going to kill people. How many people are supposed to die? By the way, who was it?
Oh, they did. They did find a way. They did find a way to blame the right for the Scalise shooting.
Oh yeah, who said that? What was that again? Who said that?
I don't know if it was the MSNBC or CNN, one of them.
No, it was a congressman. It was a congressman. It was one of those lovely little Democratic congressmen. There you go. The Dems again. I mean, they can't even keep their, you know, because of the rhetoric.
Because in
I
his,
think.
Yeah.
What else?
In his hometown of Belleville, Illinois, there's a racist, bigot, right-wing, quote-unquote, hate speech radio guy. And that's what prompted him.
Oh, please. Give me
this
a break.
They interviewed this quote-unquote right-wing bigot racist SOB, and he said, I can't tell you for sure if he listened to my show, but I'd be surprised if he didn't. You know, everybody listens to my show. Yeah, right. You know, so anyway. But I've never really had the desire with Waters, and I'm going to go out on a very, very, very thin little limb here, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I say, all right? A disclaimer here, I am not condoning, advocating, or nor would I participate in any such thing. But even with Pocahontas, even with Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, jeez, here we go again.
I have never ever wanted to reach into the TV and smack them. You know, not punch them in the, what do you say, punch them in the face, punch them in the gut. They were talking about the president.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just wonder if you just reach through and you smack them one, would they wake up and go, oh, thanks, I needed that.
Or you just, smack in the head.
Well, so I've never had that, you know, desire, proclivity, inclination, whatever you want to call it. However, when I see Graham, McCain, McConnell, Collins, I don't need to go on. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I just want to reach and smack them, but as my father used to say, I'd smack you, but shit splatters.
Let me tell you something. When I watch the Dems, I laugh. I do. I laugh at them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To me, they're the most ridiculous things on the earth. But it's the GOP that really gets me angry, that really gets my temperature up. And those are the ones I want to smack in the back of the head. Because they're not supposed, they are supposed to be saving us from the Democrats. They're not supposed to be hand in hand with them. And that's what it seems that they're doing. You know?
You know, I really should.
I'm tired of this.
I try to keep my famous pink pencil handy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I don't remember how I left it. That's why it's pink, so I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the fellow's name. I believe he was from Arizona. The senior senator from Arizona.
That's McCain.
No, then it wasn't Arizona. I don't know, maybe it was Colorado, maybe it was, I don't know. But the guy said, we've got to stay here. The heck with this recess.
Are you talking about Jason Chaffetz? Oh, no.
Well, he said it too, but mm-hmm. He's from Utah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he also said, though, he did say, you know, here it is, we have a GOP majority. It's July, and they haven't done anything. There is nothing. They have, and it's true, they have done nothing.
Well, they have done a few things.
Well, a few, because, and you know why? Because Trump has basically shamed them into doing it. It's like, come on, you're supposed to be the grown-ups in Congress now. Get your act together. Well, let's work for the American people.
I saw an infographic, not an infographic, a cartoon, actually, a political cartoon, and forgive me, I don't know the cartoonist's name. I only know one or two by name, and it wasn't from either of those. And it showed one pane had an elephant in a suit, and it said, give us the House and we'll repeal Obamacare. And then the next pane said, give us the Senate and we'll repeal Obamacare. And the third one said, give us the White House and we'll repeal Obamacare. And then the next pane was empty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I started to go towards, I think last time, and maybe I did and maybe I didn't, because my days and nights run together sometimes. The fact that Maine finally passed the budget, you know,
right.
But one of the things that got lost because of Democrat voting was they had a bill to render illegal female genital mutilation.
Yeah, I noticed that. The ACLU was up in arms on that, and they fought against it, and the Dems did too, because they said there weren't enough cases for them to consider it. Or
there's eight. How many more do you need?
That's the thing. You know, it's just, who cares how many there are?
Somebody said something to me about, who are you to judge? I said, tell you what, go put your daughter through it. Come back, we'll talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a male circumcision. Not at all.
I'll be honest with you, and that's what they hide behind. They say, well, you know, the Jews circumcise their males. They make that allegation. And what they forget, is they're probably atheists, so they probably never read the Bible. What they forget is the fact that this symbol of the covenant was partly a symbol of the covenant, but the reason, just like everything else,
mm-hmm.
was because it was a sanitary thing.
Yes.
It was a health thing.
Yes.
Same thing as not eating shellfish in the desert.
That's right.
You know.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So, you know, these things are actually, you know, like the golden rule, is sensible. That's something every man of every faith can get behind.
Well, but, almost.
You know, so it's not the same as circumcision because it's a part of their culture. It's not just that it's been a culture for 1,400 yeah. years. It's been a part of their culture for pushing hard on 6,000 years.
You know, this exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now,
and don't forget
I personally,
now. What?
I personally... If I had a son born tomorrow morning, I wouldn't.
That's up to you, though. Hospitals are now giving
that's
parents
right.
the option.
I it's up to me, and I'm not. I don't know how I'd feel if I were a practicing Jew, but I'm not. Ergo, I wouldn't. Now, if the kid turns 18 and says, "You know something, I'm tired of this, Pop. Well, you need a ride? Yeah, okay, come on, we'll go down to the doctor."
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You know, but it's like anything else. It's like these moral equivalency is what they're trying to establish.
There is no moral equivalency.
And it's not there. It's a fool's errand.
There's no morality involved in this.
It's a logical fallacy. Mm-hmm. So the reason that was such a problem, the reason that the budget was such a problem, the reason that several other laws that made perfect sense didn't get passed, and some of the other laws that didn't make any doggone sense did get passed, is the whole obstruct, oppose, and resist mm-hmm. movement. It's
yes.
like their mantra. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if I have them in the right order because I'm not a Democrat, but it's oppose, obstruct, resist, or obstruct, resist, oppose, or whatever. And it goes all the way from town hall to Congress. And that's what they're doing. Now, when Hillary Clinton says oppose, obstruct, resist, and persist, and all that other crap, you know, okay, fine, she lost. She still got sour grapes. She and Obama, now he's back into politics. She's never left politics, all this other stuff. But when you get the same oppose, obstruct, resist from your own party?
Yeah. Yep.
How many people, Chavez, you mentioned Chavez, how many other people have stood there? Even Ron Paul says, get it together, Republicans.
I agree with him.
You've got every opportunity in the world to fix a lot of bad things. Maybe not exactly the way I'd like them, but you've got a lot of opportunity here, and you've got an opportunity if you do this crap right, or hell, if you do it at all. Now, you've got a perfect shot at cleaning the entire swamp in 2018. You wake up in the morning of November 9th in 2018 and the swamp will be empty.
However, a lot of these people are part of the swamp. That's one of the...
I know that.
I mean, I cannot say that Rand Paul is part of the swamp. He's not. He's not. I mean, you know, he'll go along with things on if they're logical. If they're not... I mean, the man's a doctor, for God's sake. He should know what the health care bill is about.
What he's done is he pulled... Jason Chaffetz, what he's basically done is crawl out of the swamp. Because
he finally... I bet you he was getting a lot of pressure. And he finally said, that's it, I'm out of here. You know, make the excuse that he wants to spend more time with his family or other opportunities. And I think that he will probably be able... If he gets on the... bandwagon, the political bandwagon outside of Congress, and starts making some changes there. On the outside, becomes a spokesperson.
He won't be able to lobby for 5 years.
No, that's fine, and I don't think he wants to lobby. But what I'm saying is that he can get out there as a concerned citizen, and you know, tell what it is really like there. He doesn't owe anybody anything there. He has nobody. He doesn't owe anybody anything. And if
he'll be able to write his book.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I don't know what the circumstances are, but I wish him well. I wish him the best. You know, he was always a straightforward person, and I like him.
Oh, absolutely.
If he can
honorable
bring some,
street shooter.
Yeah, if he can bring some clarity to the American people as to exactly what is going on in Congress with the GOP, the Dems, I know, you know, we know what's going on, although some people ignore it. But the GOP, that's why I do not align myself with the GOP any longer. I just don't. I mean, Ryan.
No, Jason Chaffetz.
What?
Yeah, well, Ryan is a complete and total failure. Ryan is a complete and total failure.
We have to get rid of him. We really do. I mean, he is so much part of the swamp. It's unbelievable. Him, McCain, Graham, McConnell. I mean, they stand there and they double talk on why this can't be done, you know?
He's the one that anytime anybody tries to crawl out of the swamp, he pushes their head back onto the water.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jason Chaffetz, though, you got to say, you know, he could use a better haircut.
All right.
And Trey Gowdy could, too.
They're busy people.
Jason Chaffetz now is going to be a Fox News contributor.
Mm-hmm. See? Yeah, that's where they get him. Yeah.
I hope he gets a gig with the Heritage Foundation or Founders Foundation.
We'll see what happens.
American Enterprise Institute, something like that, Prager. You know, maybe he'll go and be a professor at Hillsdale, you know, which
would be
kinda
nice. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I just wish.
But I'll tell you what, though. One of the things that's got sand in their Vaseline these days.
Uh-oh. What? Who?
538 people fired from the VA.
Isn't that nice?
Doctors, administrators, cops,
the people that are
nurses,
just sitting
janitors.
There and doing absolutely nothing or doing it very poorly.
And 230 something more suspended for misconduct.
But you see, this is the way the Obama administration was. Their intent was to make government the biggest industry in the United States, which is socialism, which goes on to communism, which, you know, and so on and so on and so on. And that was his intent. And of course, let me tell you, the way things were going in our government was starting to mirror a Soviet government so closely, it was ridiculous. Because what you had during the Soviet Union times, you had people that were so incompetent. You know, the only thing that they were doing was trying to keep their job, hiding things, pushing issues under the carpet, pushing,
I posted a video, not on PQRM, just on my personal, of Munich after these riots and lootings and, you know, stuff like that.
Munich, I thought it was Hamburg.
Hamburg, I'm sorry. Sorry, because there was somebody else was in Munich and I don't remember who it was. I should remember who it was. Oh, Dean King.
Yes.
He was over there for something, you know. Showing all this stuff. And I got three things I got to say about it. Facial recognition software, swift and sure prosecution, mm-hmm. and maximum sentences. Because
they're not
now
going to do that. Over in Hamburg, are you kidding? They're not going to do that.
These ultra-left mobs
mm-hmm.
have now... RT. Are now actually chanting Hitler slogans at their rallies.
Really?
You know, they sit there and tell everybody how those of us on the right are Hitler and fascists.
Yeah.
And Nazis. Yeah, well, now they're actually using Hitler chants.
Like what?
I don't know. I can't read German.
Oh.
But,
okay,
know.
There we go.
Yeah, the article
I'm going to have to look that up.
All in German.
You know, it was amazing. After those people got finished with Hamburg, it was like a bomb had gone off between all the destruction, the looting. It was horrible. And this was what they were doing. They were having fun doing this. And you take a look at this, and you realize George Soros is sitting there with a big smile on his face. Because, you know,
signing checks.
Yes. Most definitely. And you take a look at this, and it's, you look at the people just, I mean, destroying things. And what really got me about, not only they were against, I mean, you know, it's amazing, because they were against capitalism, so they basically destroy shops, where they probably shop, by the way. You know? I mean, well, let me ask you a question. Where do they get things? Do they wish for them and they just appear? They have to shop for them. That means they're part of a capitalistic society, you stupid idiots. What the hell's wrong with you? Your economics.
Well, they're against capitalism. Yeah. They're against capitalism, so they loot, which means they get it for free, which is what they're owed and do. You know.
However, they're probably paid to take part in these riots.
Of course.
That's a form of capitalism. You know, you get paid for a service.
Why on earth would you subject yourself to high-velocity water cannons, flashbang grenades, mace, tear gas, you know, it's just, you'd have to be getting paid.
But the thing is, too, I think that a lot of these people are mentally unbalanced. They have to be. They're mentally unbalanced. They love violence. Another thing, they love violence, they love mayhem. There is a portion of society that likes that, and they're called Nazis and Muslims.
Did you see where there was two protesters that got hit with a water cannon, but at the time they weren't really protesting, they were making love?
Are you kidding me? I didn't see that.
So
they were having sex.
They were up on a barricade or something, and you know, and then the cops came along with like shooting a water hose at two dogs in the yard. You know?
Yes, yes. Oh my God. Good. Because I'm tired of that.
I just found that amusing.
I think it's very amusing. Now, one of the things that really bothered me about all of this, not just the riots, people calling them protests, they weren't protests, they were riots. Good old Bill de Blasio made in New York City.
Right.
Unfortunately, New York lost another police officer was murdered in cold blood, sitting in their police. What was that?
Minnesota's Familia.
Yes, mother. She was a veteran of 12-year veteran, and she had children, and she was a dedicated police officer, just trying to do her job. And this coward came in, who, by the way, had a lengthy record, and shot her just for no reason at all. Now, you know and I know that in the past, what happens is that all the police officers go and they gather at the hospital, and the mayor always comes in. Well,
right.
Didn't happen.
Nope, didn't happen.
And also,
the commute was a little long for that one.
Well, you don't understand. I don't care what his obligations were. And this just tells it all here, folks. He had a crisis in New York City. I don't care if he planned this 2-3 months ago. Look, in the first place, he should not even be going to this. You know, this is not what the mayor of New York City does, okay? This is not a mayor who has any brain does.
He's setting himself up for the world stage.
Well, he thinks he is, but that's fine. The world stage is changing. Yeah. It really is changing. But anyway, so he goes to the G20 in order to protest. So instead of going to the hospital, instead of attending the funeral, which he should have done, that was priority one. He just tells everybody to go to hell. He told the police department, NYPD, to go to hell. All their families, their friends, the people of New York City. And he isn't running for re-election, is he?
Probably. But don't forget, there was also the next day, dozens of very nice, very young, very honorable people raising their right hand, swearing to protect and serve the people of New York City.
That's right.
You know, a graduation from the academy.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't go to that either.
And where was their mayor?
Nope. Nowhere to be found. Which proves that the leftist agenda is first and foremost on his mind, not the people of New York City, not their welfare, not their safety.
Well, as I've said before, his name is Warren Wilhelm. They should have kept him in Germany.
That's right. It is Warren Wilhelm.
I'll tell you, honest.
Was his stepfather his name who was de Blasio?
I don't care enough to find out. You know, I mean,
used de Blasio because there's a lot of Italian community in New York City, probably, and that's how he wanted to get the votes.
Here's the thing. If I were, maybe not the commissioner, because that's got to be a buddy job, but if I were the chief of police And if I were the battalion and, you know, brigade commanders, I would have turned around and said, what time does his airplane hit JFK? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 4 o'clock? Yeah. We'll get there around 5.
There you go.
Get off the aircraft, and there's no NYPD around. You know, save the ones that are already in the airport anyway.
You know what I would do? I would send a
escort.
Wait a minute, come on. Well, you're ruining my line here. I would send a Uber driver. Go to JFK, pick up the mayor of New York City. A Uber car. What the hell?
Yeah. I'd make sure a semi-radical Muslim driving too.
Oh no, he'd probably make friends with the guy and say, you know, I'm in with the struggle, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? You're in with the struggle, but there is no such thing as in with the struggle to those people. They want you dead.
Yes, exactly. Hey,
in G20, two more things on G20.
Sure.
What the hell was Obama doing there? I mean, not so much that he was in the next town over when you know the president was in Rome and he was in Siena. No, he was in Hamburg. And he was meeting with officials and
because he's a publicity, because this is the shadow government that I was talking about. This is it.
It is. It's a shadow government. It's not going to go away unless we make it go away. And the only way we're going to make it go away is the same way everything else in the United States goes away. Shine the light of day on it.
That's true.
If it's a shadow government, turn the sun around and hit it the other way.
It's starting to happen. Actually, it is happening. You know, we're seeing just how stupid these people are and how evil. Some of them are evil. I'm sorry. Obama is evil. He has. Wait a minute. Don't forget. July 4th. What did he say on July 4th? Americans, they shouldn't, you know, be too patriotic. So patriotic.
Right. Nationalism like that is dangerous to the world. And, you know, the progressive liberal agenda is the only thing that can save the world. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, why aren't you and Hillary hand in hand walking down a path into the woods?
That's what I want to know. Or at least in adjoining cells, for God's sake.
Last thing about the G20.
Go ahead, go for it.
I commend the Hamburg PD, etc., for their tactical role with the water cannons on it and that kind of thing. I commend them for it. They've been using flashbangs and CS gas and stuff, all non-lethal stuff. You know, I don't know if during the entire time any officer unholstered his weapon or not. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but I didn't hear of anybody getting shot.
No,
here's the thing that gets me. We have technology today, you know, because they're standing there and, we brought our umbrellas. Well, first of all, up against a high-velocity water cannon, an umbrella ain't going to help. You know, kind of a thing. But we have two different technologies of what they call active denial. One works on a radio wave not too far off from a microwave.
Okay.
And when they aim it down at you, if you're within 100 yards, you're on fire. Now,
really?
I don't mean physically on fire combusting. I mean that you feel like you're on fire. And if you stand there for another 20 minutes, it's going to bake you. But the idea is you can't stand it. You leave.
Oh, all right? That's interesting.
You're not going to stand there for 20 minutes and get baked. You're on your way out. All right?
Okay.
That's the one. And I've seen demonstrations of this. And it is massively effective.
Okay.
And they use volunteer GIs and Air Force crewmen and stuff like that. Use civilians from around the native population in the desert and stuff. And they aim this thing at them, and they just they left. They didn't even leave slowly. They left in a hurry.
Wow.
The other one that they have, and I know for a fact the Germans have this, is the Sonic active denial system.
Okay.
Which, if you're standing next to, it's this weird whistling, high-pitched, vibrating vibrato, you know, kind of thing. That if you're standing next to it, it's like, machine's turned on. I can see the little red light. But if you're in front of it by a certain number of degrees, you cannot handle the pain going through your head from this machine.
Really? What's the distance, though? I mean, is it a possibility that people in the buildings would be affected by it? Or can they direct it, like, you know, down a
street? No, it's got a decent range, but they direct it down the street. It's got a narrow cone, which is adjustable.
Okay.
I'm sure you could open
it
very wide. But if it's aimed at you, it's aimed at you and the guy behind you and the guy next to you. It's not aimed at, you know, the entire town. That's where you sweep it back and forth. And I'll tell you what, at a couple of hundred yards, it works on Somali pirates. That's how I know the Germans have it.
Ah, okay. Interesting. But, you know...
Speaking of Somali pirates, I want to go off topic for a moment.
Okay, real quick.
Somebody at the National Review, somebody posted wrote an article for the National Review, and it said, here's the next billion-dollar industry. Luxury cruise yachts going around the Horn of Africa and off the coast of Somalia, and it's all luxury, all expenses paid, and there are machine guns and stuff on the boat you get to shoot pirates.
You know, folks, if you think that's cruel, what they do to the people that they get a hold of is even crueler. So,
where's Richard Branson when you need him? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right. Another one. Hey, listen, you know what? I'd like to talk about North Korea here. What do you say?
Loco.
Yeah, good old Kim
Loco,
Jong-un.
Loco, man.
Loco, loco. Well, the last one that they launched was an ICBM. Lovely. You know, a lot of people keep saying, well, you know, Alaska's in danger, Southern California. I don't think that that's their intention, is to nuke us. I think what they're going to do more is an EMP strike. I really do. I think that's an intention.
I could see that, and I could see it instead of saying, okay, we're sending it to Juneau or Anchorage or Nome or whatever. I could see them aiming it at, like,
range.
Say, Puget Sound.
They need the range, and that's what they're going for now. They're going for range. And if they can get close enough, it doesn't have to be right over us. You realize that?
No, of course not.
Over the country.
But
so
all it has to be is over where the grid is. That's all it has to be.
Exactly. How far the grid goes out.
You know, how many people live in Seoul? It's like the most densely populated free city in the entire Orient or something? Or Asia,
know.
I thought
Tokyo was. Okay. My bad.
Well, you've also got Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo too, don't forget.
You know, whether you want to say necessarily Tokyo or any of the other major manufacturing and industrial and financial and stuff centers in Japan. You know, the Aussies are worried. You know, Indonesians are worried. You know,
I really think they're going for an EMP strike. I do. Because they can't say, they can say then, we didn't kill anybody.
Well, yes, you did.
Yeah, well, you did, obviously.
An EMP strike would pull all the aircraft out of the sky.
I know, that's what I'm
it
saying. But, you know, they'll say, that's what I think they're going for. I really do. No, you're right on that point. But you got to think it.
You know,
how Kim Jong-un operates.
I believe certain areas.
Well, they should have been in the air then.
Well, you know, it's not like they're going to drop leaflets on the airplane and tell everybody to, you know, leave the airplane.
Can't do that.
You know,
I didn't mean to sound so stupid on that one. I really didn't. I'm just trying to think of different excuses that they would use. I think that would be one of them.
The problem with a selective EMP like that is it's easy to rectify.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them to really hurt the United States, they'd really have to go and do it over New York.
Well,
Los Angeles. Not even Frisco.
Saying, though, but York, they can, Angeles, but they can get close enough. That's their intention. Now they're launching ICBM platforms. So that gets them closer.
Well,
that gets them a lot closer.
I saw something come across one of the commentary sites, and I don't remember which one it was, because I never remember what it is, because I never write it down. But it's all findable. One of the ladies on Fox News.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, she was on Outnumbered, I believe, at the time. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Jillian Turn. Said, what on earth, you know, this guy walks around complaining that he lives this nightmare of America beheading him, a la ISIS. Mm-hmm. And what's to say that we can't just, you know, not so much drop a Delta Force or SEALs or something like that, but do what we did, like, with the other fella, with Gaddafi, you know, all those years ago. Mm-hmm. Just selectively, and then somebody else said, well, you know, they've got these mobile rocket launchers down by the 38th parallel, and they've got, you know, 9 million people in their army.
Yep.
You know, all this kind of stuff. And I think the one report I read was that there are about 100 to 150 very important generals and legislators and stuff like that that surround him mm-hmm. at all times. Mm-hmm. And they are the core to elite to this and that and the other thing. And outside of that, my opinion is that if we did decide to do something like that and we got like all of those guys, the last person leaving North Korea turned out the light. Not the lights, because there's only one. The light.
That's true.
You know, those people on those mobile rocket launchers would drive straight across the 38th parallel with their hands up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, yeah. Because I think a lot of these generals are just sticking by him out of fear. Considering all the people he's put to death so far, his own family, people in his own family, an uncle who was I think he was a general. He was in the military, very high. officer in the military, he put him to death. He just shot him. He thought he was being a traitor to him and betraying him.
There was another famous report, which I've never been able to vet, so I'm just going to say it's alleged. Mm-hmm. Especially since, you know, the word alleged to me is very important, because anything you hear about me, just it's alleged. Okay. Mm-hmm. The one guy that wasn't that failed in some task or something like this, a general that had been seen next to him for years, you know, turned around, pulled out a pistol and shot the guy right there, you know, mm-hmm. 1,000 troops in front of him and people behind him. He just shot the guy right there. You know, somebody keeps using the term.
Yeah.
Child. He's not a petulant child. He's a maniac.
Yeah, he is a maniac. Yeah. He is a maniac. You know,
he's a maniac.
Yeah. His childhood was secret. Supposedly, he went to school under another name in Switzerland. So he knows the West. They said I was watching this report on him. They said he was very quiet, really didn't take part in a lot of things, but was a friendly guy. But people always thought he had a funny side to him. He is a maniac. I think he is. Well, it's not a petulant child. He's not a petulant child.
Isn't that every time a serial killer comes up, isn't that when they interview the neighbors? Well, he was kind of a nice guy, had a little funny bone, but kept himself mostly.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, that's almost an FBI profile right there.
There you go.
And I believe this is one of the very few times, but I realize that there are sanctions nationally and internationally and stuff from, you know, engaging in the death of a head of state and, you know, all that kind of crap that, you know, treaties that we've signed and stuff. I understand that. So I'm not, you know, necessarily advocating. But let me say, I will go this far and say that this is one of the few times I've seen where cutting the head off the snake would actually kill the snake.
It would be nice. Would be nice.
I think if they took out Kim Jong-dum, mm-hmm. you know, if they took him out and that core of generals that's always right there with him on the reviewing stand,
yeah,
everybody else would leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about,
they would.
You know, the 9 million,
I really think they would.
9 million people in the military. And nobody in North Korea, with the exception of the odd engineer in a nuclear program, nobody in North Korea lives better than the military. Mm-hmm. And the bottom dozen or two echelons of the military are still starving.
Yeah, they are.
You know, to get one meal a day, and it's only this much rice and, you know, a piece of fish and, you know, stuff like that. You know, not even any soy sauce, for crying out loud. And, you know, there are reports of, you know, if the army is on the move and they come through your town, you know, take your goats, chickens, ducks, geese, whatever, and hide them, because they'll get them. They'll just pick them up and take them away.
North Korea is it's, I have
I
watched.
Really do. I think if we took him out and his corps of generals, I think the rest of them would just...
I think so, too. I really do. Because, you know, he can only keep order by fear and intimidation. And it's the only way he can keep order. Other than that, the people say they love him, but I think they say it out of fear. You know?
Yeah.
The more I read about North Korea and the more I watch videos that have been sneaked out, oh my God. You should see the regular people outside of Pyongyang. They're in such bad straits. You have children on the streets, no parents because the parents have been taken away, or they're just that poor that, you know, parents are and their families are on the streets, and they try and find food, and, you know, it's really bad. And so it's not exactly what you'd call a really nice existence. It's not something that they choose. You know, Pyongyang is basically the showcase city where
yeah, of course.
There's everything, but nothing goes on really except marches and staged
cardboard rockets
processions. Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting, and I feel really bad for those people. But unless we get rid of him and his backers, you know, and China's not helping this. Really, they aren't.
People keep saying that they, you know, these people keep going on about, you know, socialism and all this other stuff. Is this what they want? Is Venezuela what they want? Is, you know, is this what they're after?
Venezuela, you know, they're another.
I remember there was which secretary under Obama was it that said, oh, we're going to start this program. We're going to take a desk and put it in the middle of the desert, and we're going to get all the ISIS and Al-Qaeda people, and we're going to get them jobs, because that's the real problem. You know, because look at the huts they live in, these
it
mud
was
huts.
Some chick at the State Department.
You know, and that's what they need is jobs. You know,
the hijackers on 9/11, weren't they all like professionals or they came from wealthy families? I mean, come on.
It's not jobs. It's not money. You know, these people live in these hovels with goats and chickens running around, and that's, you know what? You bring them here and they act the same way. So, you know,
exactly.
And in Germany, they're requisitioning apartments and stuff in buildings, and then they turn to the landlord and say, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, and they also
They
make the landlords pay for renovations. They make the owners pay for it.
They pay for renovations.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the poor guy in Canada.
The guy had to pay $12,000.
He didn't take his shoes off. $12,000.
These guys.
They were moving. They told him they were moving. He said, okay, fine. You know, well, please don't come while we're praying. Okay, fine. I'll come by at whatever it was, 4 o'clock. You know, that kind of thing. I got to show the apartment to the next couple that's going to live there. And he didn't take his shoes off. So he got fined $12,000 for insensitivity to Muslims. And this guy was a migrant.
Exactly. By the Canadian government. That's who fined him.
Yeah, he was fined.
Okay, did you hear
Ethiopian on Long Island? Or Eritrean or something like that? Christian. Which guy on Long Island?
No, there was a mosque on Long Island in which a picture of Jesus was put in front of the mosque. Okay? And the police are investigating it as a hate crime.
Well, you would think it would actually be considered a love crime.
Yeah, because Jesus was about love, folks.
You would think it would be considered a love crime.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
It's like, here, we love you. We love Jesus, and Jesus loves you, you know, kind of a thing. It might not have, you know, I mean, look, the pig's head, yeah, I get it, you know.
No,
you know, the bacon on the door handles, yeah, all right, I get it.
No, I don't,
you know,
I don't care. I'll be honest, I don't care about that. Get over it. You know, how many atrocities have the Jews had to, you know, deal with at your hands? Get over it. You're going to come over here and do this crap? Forget it.
Well, that's it. How come...
they're allowed to do whatever they want.
In these Muslim nations where they're the majority,
mm-hmm.
they hate it. You know, then they come here where they're... Mm-hmm. When they're in their own countries... They don't do mm-hmm. anything about civil rights. They come here, and the first thing they do is start squawking about civil rights.
That's right. They do. There you go.
You know, what the hell?
I know. It's ironic. That is a very good point.
Shut up, Luke, and sit down.
That's a very good point. Like, they're civil rights. What, are you kidding me? See,
well,
what they're trying to do there is use the system against us. That's what they're doing. It's use of our system.
Or something. There's a word that they use, and it's like, you can do anything to take mm-hmm. over the infidel.
Yep.
You can shave, you can drink, you can, you know,
yep.
do all of these things to further, you know, and infiltration. They start out as, I don't know, you know, the clerk in the, you know, in the library, and then the next thing you know, somebody's clerk in the library, and they get their son a job. You know, as a police dispatcher, and then the next one gets their son a job, you know, and the next mm-hmm. thing you know, you've got a guy running for mayor of Dearbornistan.
Yep.
Who has openly said that when I'm mayor, I will institute Sharia law.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No.
No. No. But
no.
I'll tell you, as far as you Sharia law is concerned, in Germany now, they're allowing Sharia police. People, you don't believe me, look it up. In Berlin,
well,
I believe.
It's allowed in Germany. A judge came down in favor of a Sharia police force.
Okay.
As long as they don't dress to confuse themselves with the legitimate civilian police force, you know, so now they've got orange vests on or something.
So basically, they're going to what? Go up to...
They're going to go tell people that, oh, you're in a Sharia neighborhood, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you got to put, you know, cover yourself.
What?
You know,
and there you go.
Kind of,
no go zones.
No go zones.
No go zones.
You know, I mean, I started a new slogan accidentally the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I
what
did. I do that on occasion on the internet. Allah mm-hmm. Akbang.
I like that. Oh, I like that.
Somebody
that
comes
excellent.
Running at me yelling Allah to get Ak out and bang.
Yeah, you betcha. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
And, you know, look at, they are actually going to have, in Sweden, they're actually going to have a female-only music festival because the music festival they usually have at this time of year.
Yes, they had too many sexual assaults.
Yeah.
See, they're not. But then, as I know you said this last time, the Swedish police are basically screaming, help us. What do you want us to do? Well, like, you know, this is your country.
Oh.
Grow a pair. Remove the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a coup, for God's sake. I don't know what to tell you at this point in time. And then you have the United Kingdom, who is... they're finished. They're finished. The UK's finished. They are going downhill so quickly.
They're going down faster than France.
Faster than France. It's so bad that George Clooney's actually coming back to the United States. Because... of security concerns. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Open borders guy, what's the matter? Huh? UK border too open for you now?
No, they stopped, a man on the street kind of guy stopped a bunch of people in, it was France, Sweden, Denmark, I don't know, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a ritzy neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what do you think of the migrants? Oh, we should welcome them, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, well, would you take one into your home? Oh, yes, I would take one into my home. Well, how about tonight? I've got a bunch of them over here. Well, you know, it's difficult. You know, I got plans tonight. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the meantime, they move in, they trash everything. Mm-hmm. It's left to the citizenry to fix it, clean it up, etc. You know, whether it's the Muslims, whether it's the Antifa people, whatever it is, here's the part that really grinds my saw.
Yeah.
Right? How come they show all these people, hundreds of people, dozens of people, thousands of people, whatever it is, and they're rioting and they're looting and they're burning and they're all of a sudden, whether it's Berkeley, whether it's Hamburg, or whether it's Munich, or whether it's New York, London, Paris, Munich, you know, whatever it is, how come it's always, and the police and riot gear, and they made 4 arrests?
I know.
They made 7 arrests.
I know.
Wow.
2 people were arrested.
And that makes everybody safe, you know?
Who's in charge of this stuff?
Let me tell you something.
I'd be on top of that police department, and I'd be saying, we gave you a shield, we gave you riot gear, we gave mm-hmm. you a baton, we gave you mace, we gave you a collapsible baton, we gave you a stun gun, we gave you a taser, and we gave you a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Get your tired butt in there and break some skull.
Yep.
And arrest exactly. what's quivering on the ground in front of you.
Yep. And you know, the thing is too, is that all these sexual assaults and these that are going on there, and these child rapes and everything, in one, that whole area in which they had that, all those teenagers, and what they're doing is, you know, grooming these girls for whites, you know, for slavery and all this other stuff, that a lot of these investigations were shelved because the police did not want to appear racist.
Right.
So basically they're sacrificing their children for political correctness.
They found out that the Dutch in 2016 underreported Muslim crime
mm-hmm.
by 10,000 crimes.
Lou, you know, I still can't get it. Why? Why are they doing this? Why is this happening?
Well, for the same reason they don't call them crimes, they call them incidents, and they delete the fact that it's somebody of North African or Middle Eastern heritage, descent, race, whatever you want to call it. They delete all that stuff.
But you know, why are they doing
just
it?
Delete it?
Why?
Well, I don't know.
I'm serious.
You got to ask Angela Merkel, and you got to ask
Theresa May. Oh, God.
There was a Swedish. Well, you know, I don't know what the hell her problem is. But, you know, the.
What about
the, what do you call the. You know what? If there was ever somebody whose talking head came across my screen that I seriously wanted to smack, like Mo smacks Larry and Curly,
mm-hmm.
It's Trudeau. Because they had this Muslim that got freed from Gitmo, went to Canada. The courts up there decided that he was due an apology and, what, $10 million?
Yeah, well, he killed an American soldier, and he severely injured one. The guy lost his eye.
And so now he's due an apology and $10 million?
Yeah, because he was misjudged harshly. Seriously.
You know what, Trudeau?
And
we know
now,
he's not
the widow.
No.
The widow? Well, let's hope. I don't know. Come on. Angela Merkel's got a great chance of being put back in office. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Trudeau.
I don't know. But the widow.
With the exception of Quebec.
Yeah.
The exception the widow of Quebec.
The widow of the American military who was killed. And he said that, when he did it, he felt he had no choice. It was, you know, I was like, oh, please. Yeah. Uh-huh. Nobody told you to take up arms again. They tried to sue him. They tried to sue for the $10 million, but Canada mm-hmm. paid it to that guy immediately. They didn't let it sit around. They basically,
it disappeared. Yeah.
It disappeared, yeah. And he disappeared.
So, yeah, he probably put it, sent a check to the, you know, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, or ISIS.
There you go.
You know, here's a donation.
Yeah. I wouldn't be even surprised. So,
but, good.
No, it's just that the stupidity of this of Trudeau. I mean, he went to the gay pride parade, and he was talking about blessings, Muslim blessings or something, or Allah blesses gay people or something. Some stupid saying.
Yeah, what exactly about somebody going off of the roof of a 20-story building sounds like a blessing to you?
I mean, oh my God, are you kidding me? I mean, is he that stupid, or is he, I don't know. Well, then, mentally deranged.
I saw a meme right after Pride Week or whatever it was called, and it showed gays for Muslims, and it showed all these people holding up all these signs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then at the bottom panel said, Muslims for gays, and it showed them throwing people off the roof.
There you go.
I'm sorry, that's just too much evidence, in my opinion, to say, you know, gee, well, that's really not how it is. You know, the Quebecois love mm-hmm. Trudeau.
Why?
Not all of them, but
can
a lot.
Can you tell me why?
But I don't know. But Atlantic Canada?
Yeah.
You know, Toronto, been out Pacific Northwest and you know, Alberta and they're like, no.
Then how did
we have to adopt the Electoral College like the United States has, because these people, you know, in 150 square miles of Quebec, elect this guy.
That's true. Yeah.
And we're all paying the price. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so Trudeau has a shot at being knocked out. Merkel has a shot at getting back in. Mm-hmm. May, who the hell knows?
I have no idea where she really stands on anything. I mean, you know, I don't even know if Brexit is going to go through at this point.
Well, I think that
the UK is gone. UK's gone, Lou. After everything that I keep reading,
To borrow a phrase from 2016, I think Brexit is a train the way Trump train was a train. I think they said they're going to have a re-referendum on it, and they
again?
Couldn't get enough people to say.
Oh.
Yeah, they said, well, they couldn't garner enough support to refer the Brexit vote. You know, it was like, okay, let's have a referendum. And, like, you know, four guys showed up, you know. I mean, because over there, I guess it's harder to get them people to sign the form.
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
but
now, I have to say, good old Pope Francis decided to weigh in on a lot of things. And his one thing was about the violence in the world, and the fact that violence also by Catholics. Huh? What?
The fact that it's all our fault?
Nah, basically he's saying, well, you're talking about Muslim violence. Well, Catholics are violent too. Wait a minute. You may have an idiot that decides to do something violent, but it's not in the name of his religion, you stupid piece of crap. What is wrong with this man? What is wrong with this man?
He's you know,
he says I don't like to talk about Islamic violence, because every day when I read the newspaper I see violence. And he reads about an Italian who kills his fiance or his mother-in-law, and he says these are baptized Catholics, they are violent Catholics. He said that if he spoke about Islamic violence, then he would have to speak about Catholic violence as well. Well, let me ask you something, Padre. do you teach Catholic violence? Do you preach it? Did Jesus
Do you preach that
preach
it's okay
violence?
To do violence, you know,
to non-believers? Is that what you're doing? Here's, that's what Islam does. I was like, oh my God, you're such an idiot.
Here's what I gotta say.
What do you got to say?
Yo, Frankie.
Yo. Hit him at the bat.
Let me talk to you. Come over here, I wanna talk to you. About this Catholic violence thing, yeah. Do you know basic arithmetic? Yeah. Do me a favor. Add up the numbers and subtract everything that is an ordinary case of, domestic violence or crime or what have you, and just boil me the numbers of terrorism and get back to me. I'll
wait. Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, and he comes back and hands me a paper with a zero, and I'm going to say, all right, Frankie, here's how it's going to work. That chair of yours, yeah? Shut up and sit down in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and as far as the wise guys taking care of business down in Palermo and Salerno, you know, and now it seems to have spread to the mainland to a certain extent, and there's a movement right now as we speak, to do a mass repatriation of the immigrants. Gather them up, put them on boats, not little inflatable rafts or tire tubes, put them on real boats.
Where did
drag
you
them
hear
back
this?
Down to Libya.
Where
it
did
was
you
hear? On, I can't say.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
But the idea was that they want to just gather them up, put them on boats, the ones that are still there, because they disappear into the night like roaches when you turn the light on.
Mm-hmm.
Gather them up, put them on boats, because look, every single one of those boats has had a woman on it, just so they could say, oh, look, the poor widow, you know, kind of a thing. And the other 53 people on the boat were battle-aged men.
Healthy. Men. Healthy looking, too. They weren't, They didn't look starving to me.
Here's the one that always killed me. You know, the conditions in their country were so bad that they had to flee, but they left their women and children behind.
I know, isn't that amazing?
You know, if somebody said to me, you know, if we were ever in a situation here, you know, in Pennsylvania, and the balloon went up, is what we used to say in the Army, or other people say stuff hitting fans, and I felt set upon, persecuted, you know, being, you know, whether it's for being a veteran, whether it's for being a witch, whether it's for being a former cop, whatever it is, and I felt set upon, and I decided it was time to evacuate.
Right.
You think I'm going to say, Debbie, I'll see you in a little while, I'm going down a corner, and roll my wheelchair to someplace else and leave her behind?
Oh, God, no, you would never do that. Never. Ever. That would not even come into your brain at all.
No, would she? No. If there was something going on, would she be rifle, shotgun, pistol, you name it? Of course she would. But would I be in front of her? You're doggone right.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And, you know, conditions are so terrible, we had to flee.
But then don't forget, Lou, to a Muslim, a woman is a tool. That's all we are to them. No matter
goods,
what
chattel,
age.
Tool.
Yes. No matter what, a tool to satisfy their sexual emergencies or whatever, to do their bidding, no matter what age either, because I have read reports of 70 to 90-year-old women being raped by young guys.
Being sex slaves.
That's right.
Being sex slaves.
But that's all.
And
that's what women are for.
Now there's a case.
That's why they leave them back there. There's no reason for them.
Whatever
because,
the county
hey, guess
is.
What? They could probably find another one.
Just north and west of the city, London, there's a case going on right now about a 50-something-year-old guy grabbed a 13-year-old girl off of a playground and took her to a building and raped and abused her and beat her repeatedly. Which, okay, they're going to find this guy guilty, I hope, and not turn around and say, well, it's politically correct thing, just let him go.
They could also say that it was a cultural, you know, difference that you didn't understand.
And so anyway, so I hope they'll, because this guy's got record of doing the same thing. There was I'm trying to remember where. Here in America. California, I want to say. If not, it was Washington.
New Hampshire, Manchester.
The Congolese guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, so maybe it was New Hampshire.
No. Where domestic violence, yeah. Congolese immigrant. The union leader says. He lacked the cultural competency. This is what a city prosecutor said. He convinced, the lawyer, that he lacked the cultural competency to participate in the American justice system.
Well,
excuse me.
He was accused of striking, pushing, grabbing, kicking, and pulling out the hair of a woman who was 27 weeks pregnant at the time.
Right.
They agreed, the parties agreed, that the expert reports and analysis indicates that the defendant not competent, not restorable, and not dangerous. Now,
well, that's why a 27-year-old pregnant woman.
Why is this guy still in the country?
Why is this guy still alive?
Yeah, I know, but let's, you know, why is he still in the country? Deport him.
We ruled him non-compos mentis to be tried in the American justice.
So then why isn't he just put away in a mental facility?
I don't want him in a mental facility. I want him in the Congo.
Yes, no, I agree.
You know, whatever his name was.
New Hampshire, for God's sake.
Mr. is a ticket. Mm-hmm. Back to the Congo. Have a nice time. Mm-hmm. And while
that
the guy's asleep, that
brings up an old song. That brings up a real old song.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Bongo, I don't leave the Congo.
Yeah. So Danny Kaye and the Andrews Sisters. That's right.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I do. I actually have that song somewhere.
I like that song. I do
too. It was one of those songs. Danny Kaye, the Andrews Sisters. I think it was from a movie. I don't remember.
I can't remember the movie.
Well, I mean, if you take the Danny Kaye, the Andrews Sisters part, you've got to figure it came from one of the movies.
Oh, gosh, yeah. One. Yeah.
How did it go?
Bingo, bingo, bongo. I don't want to leave the jungle. I don't want to go home.
That was the second. Bingo, bango, bongo. I don't want to leave the Congo.
No, I thought it was the jungle. But it just...
Yeah, then it goes, bingo, bango, bungle, I will never leave the jungle, I will never go. Oh. Don't want no streetcars, bright lights, bright landlord, lights, doorbells, standing for me. Yeah. I love that.
Okay,
song.
Folks,
anyway,
that's our homage to the 1940s today.
And when he's asleep at the airport waiting for the plane, somebody sneak up and RFID the back of his neck.
There you go. So he can never get back in. And scan him as he tries to come in. There you go. Out. Then you give him the inflatable boat, honey.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with these other people that, you know, these MS-13 and this, that, and the other thing. You know, you say, we're going to give you free health care before we send you back. And one of the shops is an RFID chip.
I know. Jeez. Now, good news on that front. It has, there was proof that a lot of the illegals with their families are self-deporting. They are leaving.
Self-deporting, and they're not coming in. They're not coming in droves.
They're not coming in. That's right. Get them out.
What is that, 77% or something?
Yes, something like that. That's excellent.
It's
because
hysterical.
I would like to speak. Well, somebody do a report. Okay, journalists, reporters, why don't you go down to the ranches and the communities now near the border? Talk to people. See if crime rates have gone down. See if vandalism has gone down. Come on.
Yep.
I would like to know.
I would too. Inquiring mind. You know, I'd like to see that information.
I would like to see that.
You know, it's got to. And they were talking about addiction in America on a show I was watching the other day. Mm-hmm. And they had this fellow on. He was a veteran who also worked for, I think, Treasury. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if it was Secret Service or what, but and he got hurt in the Marine Corps. You know, he went to do his active duty, and he got hurt in the Marine Corps, and he got hooked on opiates, and he ended up going to the streets, and he ended up committing crimes, and, you know, et cetera. And then finally, he, you know, got put in jail, and he went and he decided, you know, this must be rock bottom because this floor is made of stone, and picked himself up, dusted himself off, and started his life anew. Now, of course, he won't work for Treasury anymore, obviously.
No, obviously. No.
But, you know, and they asked him flat out, what do you think of, you know, because, you know, they said something like 80% of the heroin in the country comes across the southern border. You know, do you think a wall would help? And he said, that's a question.
Really?
You know, or something to that effect. That's a question. Of course it'll help. And then, you know, this other fellow that was on a few minutes later, he said, we're not necessarily talking brick and mortar here. Increased seismic sensors, increased presence of the Border Patrol. You know, and it's like I used to say, you know, I don't think they're planning it, but what I always used to say was you can buy a lot for, you know, $55 million. You can buy a lot of barbed wire and a lot of landmines.
Well, you know, they're actually talking about in some of the places of putting solar panels there to offset the cost and bring in energy for some of the border towns. There are some people that are actually designing things like that. No, serious. So well, I'm...
Statistic. There's the unreported statistic of the number of people crossing the Rio Grande, you know, at water's edge, not, you know, in a bridge or something.
Right.
Crossing the Rio Grande that make it all the way to the, you know, we used to have with the Cubans the one wet foot principle. Mm-hmm. You know, putting one wet foot on American soil and somehow or another falling in the water and being swept down the Rio Grande. You know, the number of bodies recovered in some counties is pretty significant.
Really?
Now, I'm not justifying anything that anybody may get, you know, that not that I'm alleging anything, but if I was, I'm not justifying anything that could be alleged here. But I get it.
Yeah.
You know, the great Sam Kinison, rest his soul, saints be good to him, mm-hmm. You know, was rude. No two ways about it. He was out there. Yeah. He was over the top.
he was great. A lot of I'm sorry. I liked him.
And he was talking about, you know, domestic violence. And he says, I don't condone domestic violence. I would never do domestic violence. I don't advise anyone ever to do domestic violence against women. But I understand it. You know, evidently he had a bad breakup. So, but, you know, it's as I said, I'm not condoning or promoting or, you know, proffering this as a legitimate solution. But I understand it when you every week have to take 2 or 3 30-yard dumpsters through your back 40 in your ranch and collect up garbage and human waste and, you know, stuff like that. You know, repair fence wire and, you know,
how about replace,
you know, check your cattle.
Yes, exactly. You know, yeah.
You know, and they are. They're sheep and cattle are disappearing.
They are.
And, you know, check the numbers of your cattle and all this. And so, of course, you submit the claim to the insurance
company.
It's
horrible.
This is it. People don't stop at this. What it's like, and I'm... Some of the big talking heads have gone down to the border with a microphone and their best, you know, Walmart khakis on and, you know, or not, they would go to Abercrombie or, oh, I don't know, H&H.
No, Abercrombie is no longer what you thought it was. It hasn't been like that for 25
years. Oh, that's
right.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and I forgot that. But, Banana Republic is no longer where I shop because they stopped selling what I buy. So, I know some of the talking heads have gone down there with microphones and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the same as when, and of course they always get pulled, when I put the pictures on the internet of, you know, beheaded people, burned bodies, you know, all this kind of stuff. Because the media is never famed to show you, you know, what we did to a village and some kids sitting there covered in dirt. You know, of course the kid was covered in dirt before anything happened because that's how they live.
Yes.
You know, but they would never, you know, as I said, they would never fame show you that, but they never will ever, because we've got these quote-unquote sensibilities that were instituted somewhere in World War II, I think, of not showing our war dead and, you know, stuff like that. American people, you need to see this stuff. Because you don't get it. You're getting the one side of the story from the mainstream media. That's it's right. Not only biased, it's fake news.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're not seeing what it's like. You're not seeing, you know, you saw a couple of things. Did they finally cover, you know, the what went on in the G20 summit the other day? Yes.
Yeah, but
you know, a little bit. You know, but in the meantime, they were busy complaining about, you know, Trump's tweet of the wrestling. By the way, did you know that's really him?
Yes, I know. And that was Vince McMahon that he went after.
Yep.
It was
I remember that.
Publicity stunt. It was great.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah.
When beat somebody the said, crap out of
him. Ask me, so, who did they get to play Donald Trump? I said, he played himself. He
played himself.
It was a Madison Square Garden. I mean, I wasn't there that night, but I remember it. Put it on Channel 9 or what have you.
That was great.
Yeah, it really was him, you know, and it really was Vince McMahon because I remember the incident. You know, they had
so
this running verbal battle.
Yes, they did. I thought it was
so
great.
I think if they had used a lookalike, an actor that looked like the president, you know, I mean, that was back in the, what, late 80s? If they had used an actor that looked like the president and done that same exact little video thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think the president would have retweeted it, but because it really was him.
But it was him. It was him. Yeah. You know, the other thing is fake. There's a difference. I mean, it was him. And then, you know, a lot of people probably said, well, where did they do this? And they looked it up and they found out it's Vince McMahon.
Well, again, the part that gets me is the fact that CNN could, first of all, had the wrong information the first time. Second of all, they're still open to finding out whether or not they threatened the correct guy.
Exactly.
The internet is abuzz with the fact that they got the wrong guy. Thirdly, they brought down so much, you know, they put so much snow on their own roof, it's collapsing. You know, because the internet went nuts with the hashtag CNN blackmail. And, you know, people much more skilled in computers than I started putting together other GIFs, other JPEGs, other WMVs, all movies and all this other stuff. And it just got crazy nuts. Cuckoo, I couldn't scroll through Twitter fast enough to get away from them.
You know, this was the network that started cable news. You know, this was how the mighty have fallen. My God.
I can imagine Ted Turner walking around his house all day, every day for the last week, just shaking his head, going, schmucks, schmucks.
I don't know, but...
What a schmuck, what a schmuck.
Wait a minute, you know, I used to watch CNN constantly. I mean, all the time. Once they came up and they started, wow, I was impressed.
Well, I look at people like... the blonde in question. Mm-hmm. I look at people like the Jersey girl in question. I look at people like some of the other hosts, co-hosts, contributors, correspondents. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. They're trying very desperately to catch up with the, let's call it the physical attributes of the women on Fox News.
They're just hiring them away.
Well, at this point, yeah, they pretty much are. Although Greta's not at NBC anymore.
That's right. Greta, yeah. She was too conservative, they said. I can't say that she's conservative. I think that she's more logical.
I think she was the most logical of the bunch, and I thought Fox was stupid to let her go.
But they were stupid.
Yeah,
I liked her
style. Anyway, here's the next dichotomy lesson.
Okay. I'm here. I'm listening.
They're doing all they can to catch up with the physical attributes of the women on CNN and MSNBC to the women at Fox News. And you remember, of course, all the old comparison charts of conservative women versus liberal women, you know, and they had Pelosi and Waters and Hillary and, you know, stuff like that, and, you know, Roseanne Barr and, you know, stuff. And then at the top, they had all the...
Yeah.
Do you remember... back when CNN had CNN and their tag network, Headline News.
Yes.
I used to leave Headline News on almost 24/7.
Yes, so did I.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Lynn Russell?
Yes, I do.
Red hair, auburn hair.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty girl.
Yes.
You know that they canned her for being too sexy.
Are you kidding? You're kidding
no,
me,
No, she
right?
sued and what? She sued
and
won.
She's too sexy.
Oh, God,
what'd she do, wear a negligee? She wear a negligee?
No, she just wore...
She just looked good.
Business.
That's the thing. She just looked too good. That's what it was.
She looked too good. She was detracting from the network by being too pretty, too sexy, too beautiful, whatever it was, and she ended up suing and ended up winning because she was, you know, basically that's sexual discrimination.
Yes.
And she, I got news for her. She's still gorgeous. But I can remember
amazing.
Back when they canned a woman because she was too pretty and too sexy, and now they're trying desperately, sometimes mm-hmm. making it, sometimes not, you know, to keep up with the rest of the world's, you know, women's physical attribute, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So, but, you know, look, CNN is every bit as gone as Britain, as far as I'm concerned. MSNBC is not far behind because they keep, you know, what's that other fellow's name over there at MSNBC?
What, Chris Matthews?
He's just not like Matthews, and then there's another fellow that's really like
Chris
out
Hayes?
There. He's kind of like a
Chris Hayes.
Huh?
Chris Hayes.
No.
He has that thing all in with Chris.
Oh no!
Hayes.
Wait a minute! I got the wrong. I got the Fareed. Is he still? Is he with CNN? MSNBC.
Fareed
Zakaria.
That one, yeah. I think he's. Do you know? I want to say MSNBC.
Is he the guy that ate the brain?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, we got all this going on, and of course, Jim Acosta, which is, you know, almost his own network all by himself, You know, every time he's in front of a mic, and, you know, and he's complaining about this, and complaining, you know, basically all I hear, you know, you remember with Charlie Brown
CNN,
when the teacher would
CNN.
Speak, wah.
CNN.
Okay. When the teacher would speak and Charlie Brown, you always heard, wah, 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 wah.
Yep.
Right? Well, when I hear Jim Acosta speak, all I hear is, wah, wah,
I know.
Wah.
I know. I know,
you know
babies
I
who have more self-control.
I want to go to the doctor. I want to get a free sample package, and I want to send it to Jim Acosta of a product they call Grow-A-Set.
Just send him a pacifier. I mean, come on. The man needs one. I have never seen such a baby who is given the status of professional. This is how far we've come down in this country, folks. It seems as if the incompetent... Are those considered professional? It's just come on.
Well, let me bring this into play. All right, you know
okay.
those wristbands people walk around with for years that said, "What would Jesus do?" You know, WWJD.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
What would Jesus do?
Yep.
When it comes to the way the mainstream media is running now, mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
And it's not Cronkite. It's not Huntley Brinkley. It's
oh, God,
not.
No.
You know. Any of them. What would Helen Thomas do?
Oh, come on. She was always very critical of Ronald Reagan, remember? Oh, my gosh. She used to try and tear him a new one every time she tried to ask a question at a press conference. She was something else. Is she still alive?
Yeah. No, I don't believe she is. No, I think
she
died. Passed on. But,
all right. I was going to think, because she was there forever and ever, amen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I never saw her out in any other chair. I don't think she ever actually left. I think she just sat there. you know, people brought her clothes, you know. But, you know, what would Helen Thomas do? Look, you could say what you want about Helen Thomas, but let me tell you something. She was an old school, old line journalist.
She tried.
Yeah, she had the liberal bone.
Okay, she died
tried.
4 years ago. And she's still there.
But I think if she was in the room today,
yes,
with these guys,
I don't know, Lou.
She smacked them.
Maybe. I don't know because you have.
Them.
I don't know. I really don't know because I think a lot of these so-called journalists, they had two persona. One that they showed. To the American public to portray themselves as, you know, a journalist,
But their personal one was, of course, a flaming liberal. But they were always waiting for the time when the two could merge.
Yep.
That's what I think. I honestly think that. You know, and in the past 8 years, we've had it. Actually, even more than that.
I deal with a number of journalists mm-hmm. on a daily basis. I have a certain mm-hmm. amount of back and forth with several, you know, and several of them names you'd know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes time to actually push come to shove, and people harass them for, you know, they're always registered independents.
Oh, sure.
You know, they'll never tell you who they voted for because it's nobody's business but theirs.
Well, it's not.
But they're registered independents. The part that gets me is the fact that when you watch somebody who's quote-unquote an independent, mm-hmm. and you watch them, and they bring you the news, and it's fair, and it's honest, and it's squared away, and it's delivered, and it's, you know, written well, and all this other stuff, you look at them and say, you know what, they may not be a Democrat, they may not be a Republican, they may only actually truly be an independent, but damn it, they're doing their job to keep it up.
Yep.
Well, you say, well, I'm an independent, but then, you know, it's like, wah, you know, it's like, yeah, you're an independent.
Yeah,
I can tell
I know
you who you voted for the day you turned 18.
That's true.
You know?
Yep. I agree.
So anyway, what are we going to do? We're going to wrap this on up? Or?
I think we should start wrapping this up. I think we've covered a lot today. Gosh, between what was going on with the Russia problem and, you know, mm-hmm. mainstream media, the G20, North Korea.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh, we were all over the world.
All over the world, from around the world,
all
across
the
nation,
across
and up your street.
Up their street.
You know, well, hey, whatever works, you know.
I think we're
about done for today.
Yeah, well, just about. I want to ask you a question. What sort of shows do you watch?
Me?
I'm curious. Yeah.
I'm a docu-freak and
okay.
a BBC drama freak.
There you go.
Midsommar's, Father Brown.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. Do you ever watch... Actually, there's one from Canada, if you can get a hold of it, called Murdoch Mysteries.
Oh, yeah, I've got Murdoch Mysteries in the lineup. I haven't
yep.
started it yet.
Excellent.
Miss Fisher's Ministry.
That's from Australia.
All from down,
I believe.
Yeah, that's all from down under.
Have you started that one yet?
Yeah.
I love that one. I really love that one.
Her little gold-plated 38. I think it's adorable.
I did think so. Cute.
I gotta get one for Debbie. I really do.
All of a sudden she whips it out and it's like, adorable. What the heck?
Yeah. I watch some of those, and
I watch a lot of
little bit harder to watch ones I've watched, and it's not just that it's harder to watch because of the content, but it's harder to watch because of the accent.
Like what? Which ones?
You know,
can you remember?
I'm trying to remember what the heck the name of it. It had Martin Shaw.
So you got me on that.
It took place in Oxbridge. That one was difficult. Then there was another one called. It was a miniseries actually called Whitechapel, which was
yes.
actually about a modern day Jack the Ripper. And then there was also another one called Apparitions, which was Martin Shaw again. But he played a Catholic exorcist, the priest.
Well, that sounds interesting.
If you can find that one, I'm telling you, watch it. It's got its moments where it's a little difficult to watch, but at least you can understand what they're saying.
Have you ever watched Doc Martin?
No, I've never watched Doc Martin.
You gotta
watch
Doc Martin.
I've been told to. You know, I have watched shows. Martin Clunes, who plays Doc Martin.
I love Martin Clunes. I love him. He is a big animal lover. And a dog lover. Oh, it's amazing.
One thing I know, the way I was exposed to him at first was he made a bunch of BBC docus about
yes.
the heavy horses, which of mm-hmm. course you know for me is a thing. Mm-hmm. His dogs, you know, all that kind of stuff because he bought this farm and,
well,
you know, he wants to...
The one that he does on dogs, he travels around the world. There's one out there. And he winds up in Alaska, where he watches the wolves. Because he figures he start there. Oh, man. The complete amazement on his face as he's watching these wolves. And how they speak to each other and the calls and everything. I mean, you just get a little bit of a thrill. He's an amazing actor.
I think he also went to, in that same one, I think he also went to Siberia to the fox farms.
Yes.
Where they raised the crossbreed foxes and try to get them to be domesticated. And they've been doing that.
And actually, I kind of did it here on my own property at one point. I had some gray foxes. And I saw a female, and I knew she had just given birth, and she was very, very thin. So me being, you know, the St. Francis with a knee here, I started feeding her, and I started feeding her dog food. They're canines, okay? And then all of a sudden, she starts getting nice and fat again. I mean, she's starting to look good. She brings out her kits, and her little hubby comes too. And they used to spend evenings right over by a tree. It's a little like area where they can easily go into the woods. And I used to call her, and she used to come. And there was a way that I used to put food down. I would go over to the tree, and I'd go, "Come on, Mama. Come on, Mama." And I would put down the food, and I would continue around the tree away from her. I never, ever, and she would come out, and then she'd eat. And they would bring the kits out, and the kits would play, and Barry was able to walk the dog past them, and they wouldn't move. They would just play. They would watch, and the dog would go down the hill and run around down there. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, yes, actually, Russians are making great strides in domesticating the foxes. So there you go on that one. But no, Martin Clune, you have to watch Doc Martin. Yeah. You gotta watch.
I will. You know what happens is, we got caught up in it by accident one time. I don't remember what we were watching. We were watching one of them, and again, which one escapes me? But we put it on. Mm-hmm. And what happened was we binge watched it. We watched 2-3 episodes a night, not realizing there were only like 35 episodes.
Of what?
You know, because the British, they make their season is 6 episodes, but they're all an hour or so long. Mm-hmm. You know, so we ended up running out, and it's like, oh, geez, it's over. Now what? So now every time we load another one, we check and see how many episodes there are,
right?
And we take them one at a time because that way we don't run out. So
you know what I noticed?
You know, even though I've got a bunch in the in the queue, I have to, watch how many I watch.
My viewing habits are pretty much the same as yours, and I noticed that you really didn't mention any American shows. Not too many.
Well, I watch Rosemary and Thyme. I watch.
These were all Brits. These were all Brits. These are all British shows.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see you watching American shows, and I don't either. I really don't watch too much American television because the three networks out there.
Like CSI.
Yeah.
Just the biggest one. She didn't like New York or Miami. She liked Criminal Minds with Joe Mantegna, Mandy Patinkin, and every once in a while it'd be on, and she'd say, "Oh, I really want to finish watching this episode." Okay, fine. We'd sit down at dinner, and I'd watch half an episode, three quarters of an episode. And it was all right, you know. But see, that's the thing, that when it comes right down to it, I'm watching the documentaries, and most of them, you got to figure, are either animal related or historically related.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I do want to watch something, I don't want something so bleeding heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be entertained. I like to be challenged by whodunit.
That's right. Yes.
But I don't want to be sitting there, and I don't mind if I figured out it, if I figured it out wrong and I got the wrong guy, but, you know, the idea is I don't want to be caught up in this whole long, drawn out, you know, and then the, you know, you know, kind of a thing, you know, so I like to be entertained, and that's pretty much it, you know, the Debbie watches some of these, miniseries, you know, or three-season shows. 100 to 4,400 to 33,000, I don't know, all these things, domes, and you know what you're, or some of, or some of it is dystopian future-oriented, some of it is...
I like some of those.
Yeah. You know, but most of that stuff, it's, to me, it's like a dystopian soap opera, so I don't bother with it. Mm-hmm.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Depends on which one you look at.
You know, I watched Firefly several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, it was a space western.
Mm-hmm. It was, yes.
It really was. It was a western set in space. It was kind of neat, you know. And I like westerns. I grew up watching westerns with my dad, you know. So it was kind of neat for me. But and of course, we watch a lot of, we're Trekkies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've seen all the series 2-3 times, you know, because it's a go-to. It's a fail-safe. You know,
yep.
We already seen this episode. We don't want to burn this episode. Okay, fine. So let's watch Deep Space Nine or Voyager or whatever. And me, I go to bed at night and I put on either a David Attenborough or an old Robin Hood or the Buccaneers or Adventures of Ivanhoe or Sir Lancelot or whatever. You know, the old serial. Shows
from a bunch of those out there, yeah. No, so, I just want to know, just to get a little bit off the track where we were on, and just a little something a little bit different here, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
At least not to me.
I don't think so. No. Yeah. No, it's just, but it's a pathetic thing, though. You watch American television here now, and you watch the three networks, and most of their shows there are all reality stuff. Between Dancing with the Stars, all these talent things, Bachelor, Bachelorette, oh my gosh. You know, Survivor's still going strong. Why? I don't know.
That's all they have. There's an interesting tidbit.
What?
The cast of Jersey Shore went down ashore this past weekend or weekend before
for
a reunion.
One. Yeah. Did they get into a fight?
And they went here, there, and the next place. Seaside Heights declined their permit.
Oh, good. Good. Good.
They said, no, we're just trying to get, it's summertime. Look, if you come in May, you know, or you come in
September. We have families here now, folks.
It's July, there's families around. You know, we've got enough people acting weird. You know, we don't need any more of that. People crowding your cameras, and then you get annoyed, so they declined the permit, which I thought was kind of neat.
Good.
I will admit to watching two things. First of all, Dancing with the Stars.
When it first came out, I kind of watched it, too.
I was a dancer. So, I used to wait every year. Channel 13 would have that's PBS for the rest of you in this country. Would have the dance competitions, and they came around once a year, and I used to watch them. They were hosted by Julia Prowse, and then they were hosted by Chita Rivera, then they were, hosted by Rita Moreno. I mean, it was wonderful. I used to love it, but that went away, and the only place I could find dancers was Dancing with the Stars. And what? By about mid-season, I started to lose interest, even in the first, second, third season that I actually watched.
Yeah.
So I'd actually just go online and find out who was dumped this week, kind of a thing. American Idol. Right, but let me explain. I only watched American Idol for that episode with all the outtakes of the initial...
there you go. That's what we watched. Once they got into the competition, we said, forget it.
I didn't have nothing. You know, I mean, like the Korean kids. She bang. It was so hysterical. I still laugh about it. I still look that video up once in a while.
I remember that. Oh my god.
And people who sound like a drunken toad in a storm drain. You know, and they don't understand how to get buzzed. You know, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. You know, you're off.
But wait a minute.
Off key.
They have a medal though. That they got for vocalizing. So they should be there. one of the, hey, you showed up and you get a medal. Yeah, everybody gets a medal. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, but, what? I do think now we are going to have to start wrapping it up.
Okay,
it's been
fine.
Fun.
Hey, did you want me to step out of my comfort zone with a couple of jokes?
Sure, why not? I'd love jokes.
Okay, I've got two, and they're way outside my comfort zone. So you know what? If you want to comment and you want to tell me what, you know, is this, that, and the other thing I am, and it's fine. You know, something, even your mother. You know, you know, you know.
I didn't say anything yet.
Not you. Oh. Whoever would actually comment on my joke.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I usually tell Italian jokes. And I do have a couple of them handy, but not this handy. They're over the other side of the room.
All right.
But there's two I saw on the internet in the last thing. You know, how do Mexicans feel about Donald Trump's wall?
How do they feel?
They'll get over it.
That's a bad one.
Why did the Mexican guy take Xanax?
Why?
For Hispanic attacks.
Oh, God. Comfort zone?
All right. I didn't say
you're not only went out of your comfort. Oh, my God, Lou. What the? Where did you get these? Where did you get these jokes? Or
my travels around the interwebs. I find all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you know, I'm going to have a standby one, just in case. I've forgotten jokes, though. I don't joke anymore. I do, but I don't. I listen to other people joke, and I laugh.
To help people laugh, you know? I mean, that's what
yes.
I do. You know?
Hispanic attacks.
Hey, because if nothing else,
I'm entertained. Do you realize we're probably going to have a hate crime on us now because of that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, come arrest me, but bring 32 people because
yeah, I know.
31
you can make it, yeah. All right, Lou. Hey, wait a minute. I hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July. We did.
Absolutely.
It was wonderful. And it was wonderful. It was great. It was fantastic. I loved it. And I'm glad it's off.
Yep. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah,
you know, we dread it. Of course, you've got you don't have Sammy and where you got Puddin', but we still have Jackie, and her ears are like radar dishes, you know, on the old Nike bases. So we had
to
stay here, and it wasn't so bad because I think the nearest ones are like 8 or 9 miles away, so it wasn't bad. So, but anyhow, all right. Listen,
we'll
have a
great again.
Rest of the day. Rest of the And we'll do this again, hopefully, sooner rather than later.
Sooner, yes.
You know what I'd like? I'd like to find out, wake up, you know, a week from now and find out nothing happened worth talking about.
That would be nice. Then we could do our comedy routines.
Oh, that would work too, sure. We could start our own web series.
Go out as a comedy team. Like
take your
Martin
outro.
And Lewis. Folks, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate you listening when you do and when we put out a podcast. I enjoy doing this. Not as often as
You're still laughing.
I'm sorry.
La, la, la. Nice lady. You know,
thanks, lady. I'm sorry. Okay, you ever get one of those things where you can't get yourself under control and keep doing this. Just keep laughing. That's what I feel like now. Okay, let me try this again. So anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate the time that you spend listening to me and Lou babble. I don't know. But hopefully we'll be able to do this again soon. And we hope you'll join
battle
us.
Battle or babble?
Babble. Not Babel.
Oh, okay.
Babel.
Anyway,
it's a Tower of Babel.
And listen,
Tower
we're
Babel,
available
but.
And we link on iTunes, Blueberry. Not ready yet. I'm having a hard time with that. But at politicalqrm.com, obviously. Facebook, you'll find us. And Twitter, of course.
Yep.
And Minds.com and Codias.com. Do what we can. Get the word out. And we hope that no matter where it is, since you took the time, effort, and energy to listen to us or to read our essays, because we both have essays up there, and hers are good. Mine, whatever.
Mine aren't that. Come on.
Yours are good.
Anyway.
Yours are good.
I want you to comment. I want you to ask questions. I want you to comment as you see fit. And until next time, boys and girls, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.